after all that, with sadness, with losing Peter and Janie and everything. Yeah, okay. Right, Lord, with prayer. Lord, I just ask that you would encourage and build up the people that are here today with the word that I bring today. Lord, may every word be your word. Lord, enlarge it, make it what you would have it to be, so that thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Over to you. Thank you, Lord. Yes, thank you. Right. Now, the word today that God has brought to me is God's provision. And we have three different ways of looking at provision. We've got natural provision, spiritual provision, and miracles. Now, looking into this, there are so many provisions that God gives for us, to us, through us, that it had to look at the things that he wanted for us as a church in this time. And the first one is natural provisions. In this time of rising prices and shortages and unbelievable, terrible atrocities that we hear and see overseas, wars, it makes us look and think, what's going on? That God wants us to be confident in him. There is no worry with God. Trust in him. Don't worry. Now, our day-to-day things, you go grocery shopping and the bill goes up. You get a bill coming in from last year and it's up, and it's up by a lot. But we don't have to worry. God is our provision. He will give us what we need. And we'll read from Matthew 6, 25 to 34. And the word of God says, therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit or one centimetre to your stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon, King Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall I eat, or what shall I drink, or what shall I wear? For after these things the Gentiles or the unbelievers seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. All these things. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. God knows what we need. He knows our every desire, and he knows what it is that we're looking for in our lives. Trusting God. Good example is David and Goliath. David, a shepherd boy, just quickly run through. I think we all know the scripture, but I'll quickly run through it anyway. David was out in the field minding his sheep, and his father said, go to the battle where your brothers are and see how they're going. And Anyway, David went to see what was happening and how his brothers were, and he found that they were trembling in terror because of one Goliath, a giant. He was challenging the armies of God and saying, who will fight me? I can win. But David sort of looked at this, and he had previous knowledge of what God could do for him. And we'll read in 1 Samuel 17, 36 and 37. And he went to King Saul and said, I can defeat this giant. And he said, your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and the uncircumcised Philistine will be one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. Moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go and the Lord be with you. Now, Saul was obviously concerned about this young man with no experience. And he said, well, put on my armour. This will protect you. And he put on his armour, and he didn't feel comfortable in it. He hadn't proven the armour that he had. And in verse 39, he says, I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them. So David took them off. And we look at the armour of God. We don't have man's armour. We have the armour of God. And when the enemy comes at us in various ways and various times, we don't put on what people say to us. We look to God. He is our deliverer. And if we read Ephesians 6, 14 to 18, it says, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful for this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Now, Julie brought an extensive word about the armour of God some time ago now, but breaking each one of those things down that we put on. So I won't go into it in any great depth, but just to know that this is the armour of God. And thinking back to David, he hadn't proved the armour that Saul wanted him to put on. But looking back in our own lives, we can see what God's done for us in the past. And David had slain the bear and the lion. And we can look back and say, well, God got us through this time and that time. And look what God did here. And we look back on those things and say, then God will bring us through this now. Whatever comes against us, we put on the armour of God. The enemy can't get to us. And there are giants in our lives, problems that come up. And you say, well, how on earth am I going to manage this? Easily, through God. Go first to God. And give your problems to him, and he will fight for you. And don't forget, the armour of God has no back plate. Who is our rear guard? The Lord. He is our rear guard. We don't have to turn and run in fear. We stand. We stand and say, we can win through God. We will get through this, or he will take it off us. He will give us the strength to do what he wants us to do. And he will deliver us. Now, God's power in praise and prayer. The end of that chapter about the armor of God says, to pray with all supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And there is power in praise and worship and prayer. Look at Paul and Silas, who was in prison. They were worshipping and praising. But at midnight, Paul and Silas, that's Acts 16, 25 to 33. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosened. And the keeper of the prison awakened from sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, supposed the prisoners had fled. He drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul said and called aloud, saying, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and ran in and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" So they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved, and you and all your household." And then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all those who were in his house. And he took them that same hour of the night and washed their stripes. And immediately he and all his family were baptized. Praise God. How good is that? God turned that right around. He saved that man and how many others? His whole household. Power in praise. And it was the praise and the worship and the singing that opened the prison doors, because God heard. There is power in praise. Sorry. Rejoice. I didn't do it. Testing. I'm back. Okay. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 and 18 says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, and for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Now, when we say, we pray without ceasing, how do we do that? There is a way. It's in song. You know how you have a song in your head that goes around and round and it just won't go away? Make it scripture. And you're praying. You can have a song of worship. You can have a song of thanksgiving. You can have a battle song. Hit the enemy constantly. I speak Jesus. That's a song that you can pray and you can reach people, because you're praying not only for your family, as it says, but you're praying for everybody who is afflicted. And that can go around and you pray without ceasing. You win the war through song and prayer. Now we pray in everything, not for everything. Some of the things that happen to us aren't all that good, and we wouldn't want to pray and praise in that, for that. But in the situation, you pray, like Paul and Silas. They couldn't say, oh, thank you, God, I'm in prison. They didn't know that they were going to save the guard and all his household. But they were praising in the situation. Now there's a sacrifice of praise. So we read in Hebrews 13:15-16. Therefore, by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of the lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and to share. And for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. If you're in a difficult situation and you can't see your way forward, give a sacrifice of praise. Lift your heart before the Lord and just ask him to intervene on your behalf. You may not feel like it. Don't worry about that. Do it anyway. We were in a situation at one stage where we just moved from Woolloomba. And we'd come back to Sydney, and we'd moved all our furniture and belongings in Dad's carport, and we were living in Mum and Dad's spare house in Cronulla. And it seemed we couldn't find a house for us to rent. No matter how hard we looked and whatever, it was coming up to Christmas, and I guess they were all rented out for holidays and so forth. And this day we sat down on the edge of the bed, I remember it clearly, and we prayed to God. We said, Lord, simple prayer, Lord, please show us where we're going to go. But we want it by Friday at 5:00. We'd been learning about being specific. We were specific. But God took us as our word. And we thought, right, we can't get a place in Cronulla. Let's go one suburb back. So we went to Woolloomba. And there was an estate agent there. And we went in and said, you know, have you got anything? And he shaky said, no, no. And then he said, oh, just a minute. It's not on the books yet, but there's this house just down the street there. And he said, it's being repainted. The fellas that were in there before did a mess of it, wrecked it up. And so it's being repainted. But he said, if you'd like to go and have a look, the painter's in there now. And so off we went down the street, easy walk. And, so we had a look around, just an ordinary three-bedroom house with everything that you'd need. With a nice little backyard for the boys to play in. A flat wouldn't suit for boys that had been on acreage, particularly at their age. But, so we looked and we said, we're interested. He said, there's one problem. The owner said that he's going to raise the rent because he wanted a better style of people to rent. And I thought, really? Okay. All right, hold it for us and we'll go and work out our finances, etc. So we came back and we got down in prayer. What do we do, Lord? And God said, okay. Not in so many words, but we were led to say, increase the bond, keep the rent the same. That we could manage, the bond would come back to us when we moved. So, okay. And we went back to the estate agent and he said, right, okay. That's fine. I'll pass that on to the owner and see what we can do for you. Anyway, time went on. This was the beginning of the week when we'd asked him. A day, midweek, Thursday, Friday lunchtime. And I don't know about Gordon, but I was hanging on to my faith. Lord, you've got so long. And by the time, it must have been about 5 to 5, there's a knock on the door. We opened the door, raced to the door, opened the door, expecting to see the estate agent. No. It was a painter. He said, "Oh, I'm sorry to sort of come in unannounced or without letting you know. I wonder if Gordon was saying that he didn't have a job. Would he be interested in doing some painting for me? I've got an urgent job. There's been a house fire and they need it done immediately." That's good. And as he was talking to Gordon, the phone rang. Now I went back, picked up the phone, estate agent. He says, "You've got the house." But that wasn't the end of it. Of course, I couldn't contain myself. I said, "Praise the Lord." The painter looks up. "Hello," he says, "you Christian?" "Yes." "You born again, spirit-filled Christian?" "Yes." "Praise the Lord," he says. They'd been praying for a Christian couple to come in the area for quite a while, and he was over the moon. So we not only got our house, Gordon got work, we got fellowship, and we got a place near where the boys could just walk to school, primary school. So God answers prayer. And we sort of looked at the clock after the fellow had gone and said, "It must have been right on the dot at 5 o'clock. So don't tell me God doesn't do things for us. Okay. Moving right along, God's spiritual provision. Now, this is for the churches. We're the church. It's not a building. It's a group of believers. Each one of us make up this church. And this is God's provision for the church so that we function and we can operate the way he wants us to and reach us with his word. And he said, Ephesians 4:11 says, "And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers." And then he gave us the gifts. 1 Corinthians 12:4 to 11. "There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences in ministry, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given a word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another workings of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills." Now, each one of us has a gift. We were just saying before about the gifts, and each one has something that we can do. Read through those gifts and see where you fit. It doesn't come out of the blue. God's already prepared you to use these gifts and to be operated in them. And he will bring out the things that are for you to make up the whole body so that we're one in Christ. And there's no gaps, there's nothing left empty. Now, sometimes we might be believing for people to come and fill a gap. That's fine. He'll fill it. It'll happen. All in his time. Read the rest of chapter 12 in your own personal time. That's worth looking at. In the end of it, it says, "And yet I know a more excellent way, for the greatest gift is love." Sandra brought a great message a few weeks back on love, so I'm not going to go in depth with this one. This is a checkup for all of us. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 to 10. Talking too much. Right. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect, note that word, has come, then that which is in part will be done away. Right. What's perfect? Jesus. Some people say it's the Word of God when the canon of Scripture was finished. But if that's the case, how come we have so many translations? How come people debate on this and that and whatever? We know that God's basic word is what he's brought through in every scripture. And we thank God for it. When Jesus returns, we have no need of these things because he'll be with us. So the perfect in that is Jesus. Right. It's possible, talking about the gifts again, it's possible for us to have more than one gift. We've got Pastor Julie, who is a pastor, and she operates in other gifts as well. One of the things that is necessary where there's two gifts together is wisdom and knowledge. If God gives a person knowledge, he has to have the wisdom to go with it to know how to administer that gift. Not in the wrong time and the wrong place, but in God's way. And we're all encouraged to have wisdom. Many places in the scripture where it says, seek after wisdom. Very necessary. And of course, another thing that God's given us, as we mentioned just a few minutes ago, is the Word of God. Can't go through his provision without saying that the Word is the most perfect and absolute guide for our lives. Every time you read the scripture, you see something more. It's a living word. Anyone who says, "Oh, I know the Bible, I've read it through, I don't know how many times," No. The Holy Spirit will reveal something different in every scripture, even the most well-known one that we all sort of repeat over. I didn't realize it meant that. It's living, it's live, it's for us. Okay, number three, miracles. Let's look at Elijah the prophet. Now in 1 Kings 17:1-7, Elijah is about to speak to King Ahab. And Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel lives before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word." Then the word of the Lord came to him and said, "Get away from here and turn eastwards and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook. And I've commanded the ravens to feed you there." So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. For he went and stayed by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. A miracle. Imagine a bird coming with your food. Amazing. Thank you, Lord. And it happened that after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. So what happened next? Word of the Lord came to Elijah, 1 Kings 17:10-16. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called out to her, "Please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink." And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, "Please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." So she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I'm gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." And Elijah said to her, "Fear not. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first, and bring it to me, and afterwards make some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth." So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke to Elijah. Wow. Amazing. A miracle. Then Jesus fed the 5,000 with two fishes and five loaves, and there was basketfuls left over. God saved our house when the fire came just recently. Came right up to the house on three sides. Everything was blackened, but the house stood. And just to finish off, a short testimony. When we were living at Mwoolumba, we lived next to a pastor and his wife and their three children. And he was on R&R. He'd had a burnout and was just resting. And often people came from Brisbane, his old church, to see how he was going. And anyway, there's a group came this day, And we were in our place and we heard all this sound coming round the road and all singing and so forth and those guitars and, yeah, quite a noise. Anyway, as they came up, I said, these people from the old church, we'd like to sing and praise and so forth. And that was good. We did. And as it happened, though, it was about lunchtime and they brought loaves of bread and a bit of Vegemite and a bit of peanut butter, and the visitors had brought Chelsea buns for dessert. And there was quite a few of us. Anyway, I said, okay, I made some soup for lunch. Who would like some soup? And a couple of them said, yes, I'll have a bowl of soup. So I brought it out and must have smelt good, perhaps. And a few others said, yes, I'll have some too. Okay. A few more bowls of soup. In the end, I was sort of thinking, how many bowls have I got? And there was children. There was 11 children. And okay, mugs for the children. They all wanted to be in it. And then I had the little takeaway cups that you have and so forth. So the younger children got the little plastic takeaway cups. And when we'd all sung and praised the Lord and had our meal and they went off round the road, and I sort of looked at the mess that was left in the kitchen. I'd been the one dealing out the soup. Looked. That's impossible. How could I serve all those people? Well, I forgot to say, most of the adults had a second helping. Couldn't happen. Call Gordon in. Look at this. How could we have got that out of that pot of soup? I looked in the pot. There's still enough in there for us to have another meal. And we were blown away. That God thought enough of our little motley group to do a miracle. And we were just over the moon. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You are so good. Miracles don't happen often, but when they do, they really make an impact. So that's my conclusion. His natural provision, his spiritual provision, and miracles. Thank you.
Thanks, Sylvia. That's beautiful. I think it's so important to remember, especially when things are tough at the